In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, you have sorrow in your life. You have struggles. You have suffering. The Bible knows this. It assumes it. In fact, if you don't assume this when you're reading the Bible, there are a lot of things that just don't make sense, because the Bible simply assumes this about your life. And what Scripture does is it gives us these helpful illustrations so that we might know where our joy comes from. And there's a lot of them. There really are. A few helpful illustrations is you've got this race that you have to run. And it's a marathon. And the only way that you can run a marathon is with endurance. So you run, dear saints, run your race, run your life of sorrow and of suffering and of worry. Run it, dear saints, with endurance. And there's another picture of children being disciplined by the Father. I don't like being disciplined. It hurts. I don't like disciplining our children. It's hard. But discipline is for my good. My God disciplines me for my good, and we discipline our children for our good. But today, dear saints, as we consider our suffering, as we consider our sorrow, and as we consider our joy, the picture that Jesus puts before us is a beautiful one. It is a fantastic, comforting one. It is that of the relationship between a mother and her children. Listen here. John chapter 16, verse 21. Jesus says, "When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish." That is in comparison to the joy. I think Jesus knows you have anguish still, and you probably still remember it. But he continues, "For joy that a human being has been born into the world, so also you have sorrow now, but I," Jesus says, "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Dear saints, there is joy and motherhood. And one of the most beautiful things about this illustration is that this joy does not only affect the mother. The anguish in which a mother goes through to give birth to a child, do you know who is thankful for it when it is over? The baby. The mama. The daddy. And everybody who comes to see that child and that mother. The joy of motherhood not only impacts mothers, it impacts everybody. The entire family and friends. But like every illustration, it falls short, this one of motherhood and of joy. Because not every birth, not every labor gives birth to life, does it? There's miscarriages. There are stillborns. Not every mother, not everyone who has been born of Eve, and that simply means mother of living. From her comes life. Not every woman has life come forth from her. And that is not a cause of joy. That can be a cause of sorrow. Not every mother who gives birth to children chooses to actually love and care for their children. And not every mother who pours their hearts and souls and bodies into their children have their children love them back. This, dear saints, is an incomplete illustration. but it does get a good picture. And every mother, in the widest sense of that term, has mother's guilt. Dear saints, I think I want you to know about your mother, about the women in your life, that there are two things that you can do to help your mother's guilt. One, you can forgive her, and you should. You are commanded to, because you have been forgiven yourself. And the second thing, Scripture makes this intimate relationship between that of the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and that of the fourth commandment. So, dear saints, do you know what you can do to help your mother's guilt? You can go to church. You can receive forgiveness with her. For the meal in which she wants to receive with you is not just chicken. It is the meal in which you receive here. It is the fellowship that cannot be broken, the body of Christ. You know, this is an incomplete illustration, but there is a complete one. And it's that at which Jesus gets at in verse 22. He says, "So also you, dear saints, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Jesus is going back and forth. He's talking about seeing Jesus, to not seeing Jesus, to seeing him again. And what, dear saints, he is talking about is most clearly his death and his resurrection. He's talking to his disciples, and they see him clearly. They're looking right at him. And he says, "You will not see me in a little bit. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be out of your sight." Because when someone dies, they leave our sight. And that is one of the hardest things. "But you will see me again." He lives. He is risen from the dead. And they see him again. The man in which was dead, they see again. And it is the source of the resurrection, which is our joy, that cannot be taken from us. And he is not only talking to his disciples, he is talking to you. Because if I ask you honestly, and I am asking you honestly right now, do you see Jesus? The answer is no, I don't. I don't see him. I can't touch him. For now is the time of faith. And faith depends on hearing. And it's hard. I don't know how many of you are military families, but I think this illustration you get anyway. Military families write letters a lot. It's great. You get a letter from the one in which you love. It's comforting. But you desire to see them. And even when you can see them on like a computer screen, you desire to really see them, to be in their presence, to touch them, to hear their voice, not on a computer screen, but directly out of their mouths. And that, dear saints, is the life in which we live right now. I desire to see Jesus. I love to hear him. I love his voice. And you do too, dear Christian. You do. It is what gets you through this life. But you desire to see Jesus. You cannot wait. You desire to touch him. You desire to be face to face with your God. And so, dear saints, we wait in this life. And we listen to the Good Shepherd's voice. Because now we have sorrow. Now is the time
when families are broken and disease seems all but imminent. Now is the time of struggling finances and broken bodies and struggling congregations. Now is the time of wars and rumors of wars and brothers against brothers and sisters against sisters and mothers against daughters and sons against mothers. Now, dear saints, we live in what Psalm 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death. But there are two promises that Jesus has for you. One, that you live in this only for a little while. And two, that your sorrow will turn into joy. That is a promise. There is a scriptural illustration that talks about a woman who is in labor. And she's in pain, and she's suffering, and she gives birth to air. That's all. She just gives birth to air. That is, she has sorrow and she has pain, but there's nothing in the end. There's no joy. There's no baby to hold, not even a dead baby. She gives birth to air. And that, dear saints, is not you. That is not your promise. The sorrow in which you have will end, and it will turn into joy. You know your end. In a little while, you see Jesus. And it is a joy that cannot be taken from you now. It is a joy which gives you comfort now as you hear your good shepherd's voice. Your Jesus says, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I am going to the Father. He goes to the Father with his blood pleading for your forgiveness. He goes to the Father praying for you and praying for everyone in your life. Even when you forget to pray, he goes to the Father to proclaim to you that you are at peace with God, because he has made atonement for you, and that you have the promise that you will see him again in a little while. And until then we hear him. And that is our joy that cannot be taken from us, because it is a joy that has the promise. That is our peace. That is a mother's peace. That is a son's peace. That is a Christian's peace. The Lord bless and keep you from all evil until you see your Jesus again in a little while. Amen.